It's Thursday, February 5th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Well, coming up in our hemp headlines, we finally got some reaction from the Obama administration regarding these DEA raids. We'll bring that to you in the hemp headlines. We also got a couple of quick heads up here from ABC News, a producer who sent an email requesting true crime stories, and I'm sure our Stash listening audience might have a few ideas. Check the Stash blog at stash.normal.org for the address, and you could send in your idea for a true crime story to be featured on ABC News 2020. Also, you can still vote, but there isn't much time left in the Normal $10,000 Pro Cannabis Ad Contest. Check the blog at stash.normal.org. Look along the right sidebar for the picture of President Obama in green. Click it, and you can vote for your top three videos out of 25 that made the finals. And in continuing projects here at the Stash, we are continuing the Politicians on Pot project. If you have sent a cannabis law reform letter to your senator or representative and gotten a reply, please send a copy of that reply to stash@normal.org, and we'll add it to our databank of replies from all of the Congress. We're collecting them all 535 of them, on cannabis law reform. Also, our brand new project, Operation Arresting Hypocrisy, since that South Carolina sheriff said he wanted to arrest Michael Phelps for smoking a bong, we've been thinking that maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger, President Obama, a few other prominent people who have admitted to smoking pot, maybe we ought to look at arresting them too. Check it out at Operation Arresting Hypocrisy on the Stash blog. Now, in our interview segment today, we've got a special visit from our Southern California cannabis correspondent, Terry Joyce, and her friend, Dejay Coutte, from the Patients Advocacy Network, reporting live from the protests that happened this afternoon in Los Angeles, California, at the federal building in protest of those DEA raids. Dejay's got some great audio from the protests, and we'll be bringing that to you right after the news. In our Daily Toker Tune segment today from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got a great tune from Laid Black called Red. And in our second interview segment, we are thrilled to welcome back to the Stash Chris Goldstein, the original host and founder of the Normal Daily Audio Stash. He's working out in New Jersey now and getting involved with the fight for medical marijuana there in the Garden State. And he brings to us an essay on the American marijuana market, so stay tuned for that. Plus some reefer madness from one of my favorite drug warriors, Calvina Fay in New Jersey. It's all coming up right now, so spark one up. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal intestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. DEA continues pot raids Obama opposes. Drug Enforcement Administration agents this week raided four medical marijuana shops in California, contrary to President Obama's campaign promises to stop the raids. The White House said it expects those kinds of raids to end once Mr. Obama nominates someone to take charge of DEA, which is still run by Bush administration holdovers. White House spokesman Nick Shapiro said, quote, "The president believes that federal resources should not be used to circumvent state laws, and as he continues to appoint senior leadership to fill out the ranks of the federal government, he expects them to review their policies with that in mind," end quote. Mr. Obama is still filling key law enforcement posts. For now, DEA is run by Acting Administrator Michelle Leonhardt, a Bush appointee. Special Agent Sarah Pullen of the DEA's Los Angeles office said agents raided four marijuana dispensaries about noon Tuesday. Two were in Venice and one each was in Marina del Rey and Playa del Rey, all in the Los Angeles area. Agent Pullen said the four raids seized $10,000 in cash and 224 kilograms of marijuana and marijuana-laced food, such as cookies. No one was arrested, she said, but the raid is part of an ongoing investigation seeking to trace the marijuana back to its suppliers or source. Chris Hermes of Americans for Safe Access said he is aware that Mr. Obama has not installed his own DEA chief, but that new Attorney General, quote, "Eric Holder can still suspend these types of operations," end quote. The Justice Department referred questions to the White House. Well, gee, it's been 2 weeks now. Having trouble finding someone to run the DEA who's paid all their taxes, Mr. Obama? This is the lamest cop-out since President Bush blamed Abu Ghraib torture on low-ranking reservists from West Virginia. You are the president. The Justice Department takes their orders from you, no matter who appointed them to the post. I don't care if the DEA administrator was a Bush appointee or the putrid ghost of Harry J. Anslinger risen from the grave. You can write a simple memo to the acting administrator saying, "Regarding the Bush policy of raids on medical marijuana providers, you will cease these actions and any planned actions immediately." The fact that you can't communicate such a simple order in 2 weeks shows how little respect you have for sick, dying, and sense-threatened Californians and the worth of your campaign promises. How many more raids will happen in the time it takes you to replace Leonhardt? Every raid is a raid you had the power to stop and didn't, sir.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Drug warrior Calvina Fay, New Jersey medical marijuana bill is dangerous.
Medical marijuana, a user's smokescreen. I write in response to the guest opinion article, "Medical Marijuana Opening Pandora's Box," by Assemblywoman Mary Pat Angelini, who is right to question the unintended consequences of this New Jersey legislation, which seeks to allow the medical use of marijuana. Times readers should know that most people with fatal diseases are not smoking pot. They are under the care of legitimate doctors and are receiving valid medicines to treat their ailments. This dangerous bill would allow widespread marijuana use and fraudulent claims of illness for all drug users.
Oh, Calvina, you're so dramatic.
In cities like San Diego, where this issue has been closely examined, only 2% of those smoking marijuana under the guise of medicine have serious conditions such as AIDS, glaucoma, or cancer. A full 98% are treating minor conditions such as back and neck pain, anxiety, muscle spasms, insomnia, headaches, and other less significant conditions. But even more troubling is that 12% of the users are under the age of 21.
But Calvina, if that treatment actually works for those 98% and does not cause them harm, why are you so worked up about it? As for the users under 21, well, the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds can be trusted with a vote and an army rifle, so I trust them with some medical marijuana. Those under 18 have their parents expressed permission. Again, why are you so worked up about it?
Crude marijuana is not prescribed by a doctor because it has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA. Crude marijuana can never pass FDA standards for several reasons. It is neither safe nor stable. In fact, it is particularly dangerous to patients in an already weakened condition. Even marijuana in its FDA-approved pill form is a third-tier medication and not often prescribed by doctors.
Aspirin could not pass the FDA standards if it were forced to today. Cannabis is wonderfully safe. Or as the DEA's own administrative law judge puts it, quote, marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man. By any measure of rational analysis, marijuana can be safely used within a supervised routine of medical care, end quote.
After researching the efficacy of marijuana for medicinal use, the Institute of Medicine concluded that although there may be value to some compounds found in cannabis, there is no future for smoked marijuana as medicine.
Calvina, you've had to have heard of vaporization and edibles by now. Don't make me go get Paul's book and school you on the various medical uses of marijuana.
As a drug policy expert with more than 25 years' experience in the field, I can assure you that for every symptom of every illness, there is a better medicine, a better therapy than so-called medical marijuana. Please ensure that your legislators are not misled. It is much more compassionate to ensure sick people are not being exploited by those who just want to make a quick buck peddling snake oil.
Really? Tell me, Dr. Fay, what's the best treatment around for neuropathic pain? What's the best antiemetic when you're currently vomiting? What's the only painkiller you cannot overdose and die from? I can assure you that for many symptoms of many illnesses, there is no better medicine, no better therapy than cannabis. But once again, Calvina, I wish you could show me just one medical marijuana patient complaining of exploitation. As a medical marijuana activist with 4 years' experience in the field, I have yet to hear one patient say, Russ, I'm sick and tired of you exploiting me by protecting me from arrest for my medical use of cannabis. I have yet to hear one patient tell me she is canceling her medical marijuana card because she's found a better FDA-approved medication. And if you could look at my bank accounts, Calvina, I can assure you there are no quick bucks in there and very few slow bucks.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
Weed.
That's who we ballyhoo, we holly.
Weed.
We're any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
So, did you go to any Super Bowl parties or anything?
I did go to the Super Bowl party, and I got to tell you what was the most fun. I didn't even really watch the Super Bowl. Okay, my boyfriend is not into football either, and he's not gay, so but he's not into football. And we sat around, you know, the 3D glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
That they had, they were given before the 3D commercial, but we had smoked some cannabis. And put them on our eyes, and it was so trippy. It was like life had turned into 3D, and we sat around and laughed for the longest time.
Oh, boy. 3D glasses and some a good strain and the Super Bowl, and everything is okay with your world, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we were just, it was the best moment. It's like, who cares about the commercial anymore? This just changed our entire universe.
Yeah, that Super Bowl was quite a good one. And boy, between that and that whole Michael Phelps story, God, I wish I had a ton of time to talk to you about those things. But, of course, the big story we've got to get to and the big reason that we're bringing you on here for the Southern California Report is about the raids that took place, this week. And, today, the protest that's going on right now, as we speak, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
My thoughts is the raids at the dispensaries have to stop. It's going to be one of those times in, when we look back in history and realize how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And how it was turning that way.
Well, you know, we just took a poll, a Zogby poll, sponsored partially by Normal here, and we found that 72% of the people say that the DEA raids need to stop, and that was nationwide. We're not just talking California or medical marijuana states. Nationwide, 3 out of 4 people want these to stop.
Yes, and I really hope that I think that this is the beginning of that happening. That's the way I want to look at it. More and more people are becoming involved in the community, and it's becoming evident what the people want.
Well, we're going to get a chance to listen to what the people want because we're going to go now live to the protest in Los Angeles across the street from the federal building. Deje Kute from the Patients Advocacy Network has called in on her cell phone and is joining us live from the protests. Deje, where you at? Can you hear me okay?
I'm just getting downtown and walking up to the federal building, and it looks like there's already maybe 20 people here. Oh, wow, they got a lot of police out here, though.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they always do. They like to try to make sure that the number of officers outnumber the protesters. It usually doesn't work, though. They don't have any money.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to take advantage of the budget crisis.
Well, now, we just had that, you know, we got that announcement from the Obama administration about the raids. What's your take on that?
Well, I think one of the things that is important to know is there's some debate within the medical cannabis community as to whether or not Obama actually made a campaign promise. That's some of the language you've seen, you know, Obama's vow to end the raids, Obama's, you know, campaign promise to end the raids. And there's some debate whether or not, you know, President Obama actually did that. And I think what most people will say is he acknowledged that the raids were a waste of resources. But I don't think he's ever made a promise to end the raids.
I see.
The last time we heard from Nancy Pelosi's office earlier this week, with pretty much the same message she's told us the last couple years, which is that there's not enough support in Congress yet to move this issue the way we need to.
Hmm. So I guess that that works out to President Obama saying the raids are unproductive and a waste of resources, but nobody has the will to stop wasting resources.
Yeah, well, that sounds kind of like the United States government all the way around. I guess I wouldn't expect, you know, medical cannabis to be any different.
Yeah, really.
So now, now you're at the protest.
Yeah. I'm right across the street from the federal building where I've got a good eye view of everybody. And yeah, there are definitely cameras around and protesters around and police around. Homeland Security is here. Need some support.
So do we have traffic going by honking in support there?
Yes.
So the protest starting at noon, we're 3 minutes, 3 minutes after. Do you have guys speaking or chanting or anything like that going on?
There's everything going on. There's chanting. There's people being interviewed by media. There's people speaking of, you know, to those who are gathered here. So yeah, there's about maybe 40 people here now, and yeah, it's a good friendly crowd as usual.
Has the crowd
looks like Homeland Security's too concerned about us, but they send them out here for us anyway.
Has the crowd grown since you've gotten there?
You can hear the crowd honking. Of course, everybody honks for marijuana.
Of course. When I first got off the train and started down here, there were like maybe 20 people here. There's maybe like 30 or 40 now.
You know, we were talking also about these raids and how up till today, Obama's administration hadn't said anything about them. Today, his spokesman came out and said that there would be an end to these raids as soon as they could get someone appointed from the DEA. I just wanted to get your reaction on that statement.
I got that email pretty late last night.
And okay. We
can hope. I mean, one of the things that the Patient Advocacy Network has been doing for the last year is we've been working with the House Judiciary Committee, because that's the committee that's responsible for overseeing all levels of law enforcement, including the DEA. And one of the things that John Conyers came out and made a statement about was having DEA oversight hearings. And we worked, of course, to try to put those hearings together last year, but we're faced constantly with, you know, it has to happen after the Bush administration. So now that we've actually gotten to that point, I fortunately have been getting called back and have been submitting more information to them for the purpose of having the testimony and evidence that they need when they open up the congressional hearings to demonstrate that this is indeed heavy-handed tactics and a waste of resources.
Now, DeJay, in their statements today about these raids, they made a lot of reference to this being old Bush holdovers. And that when
the current temporary administrator is somebody that was appointed under the Bush administration. So hopefully she will be leaving. She's very heavy handed.
I guess what I don't understand is if Obama's the president, why can't he order any DEA head to stop these raids?
I'm hearing you over the cheers. What was that again?
I'm just wondering, why can't Obama just order the current administrator to stop the raids? Why does he have to appoint a new one?
Probably because of the position of that former administrator, which is, when I met with the federal district attorney in Santa Barbara about this issue, his attitude was basically that as long as the law is as it is in black and white on paper, they will continue to enforce it the way that they're enforcing it. So that tends to be kind of the attitude about it across the board from those current people who are involved with the Drug Enforcement Administration.
But the president can't order them to not do that?
Well, he can, but it's going to fall on deaf ears because what they're going to say is as long as the law is written the way the law is written, all they are doing is enforcing the law.
I see.
Unfortunately, they're absolutely 100% correct.
So how would that...
exactly allowed for what we have going on in Southern California. What we need is a change in policy. And the current people running the DEA aren't going to go for that.
Right. And so that's what I'm wondering. Why would a new Obama appointee be any different if they just have to enforce the same law?
Well, I guess it will depend on if he puts somebody in that position who is willing to start to make those necessary changes.
I guess we'll have to see.
People there aren't because this is their bread and butter. This is how they make money.
Sure, sure, exactly. I guess we'll just have to see how it works out, and hopefully the protests like the one you're at right now will start to ring in some people's ears.
Yeah, we're certainly well over 50 people now, and we have the crosswalk full of people coming now.
Can you get over across the street into the protest? Maybe we could get some audio from within, some chanting and such?
Yeah. So, yeah, people are chanting for safe access here in Los Angeles. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Homeland Security officers out here with us as well.
That's the sound of free speech and democracy in action in Los Angeles, California.
There's probably maybe 60 people here or so now. Like I said, pumps of support. Several people here with cameras.
Wow, DJ, that just sounds amazing to me.
I'm on the radio.
Oh, this is great. I'm going to yell out my window right now.
Okay.
But yeah, this is what happens, you know. Generally, anywhere from 25 people to 250 people come out to do emergency response, to let the federal government know that we don't find their behavior acceptable. My understanding from the raids yesterday is they weren't unusual from other raids. They were definitely smash and grab raids, but it seems like a lot more smashing went on this particular time, that they went to the extent to damage computers and damage cameras and hard drives, where usually they just pull things or just kind of knock cameras off or tilt them toward the ceiling or something of that nature. But this time it appears that they have been a lot more aggressive this time, and I'm not sure what that's about.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's the point with the aggression.
And still no arrests?
No arrests, not that I'm aware of. And it doesn't appear that this time they raided houses. Sometimes in conjunction with raids, they also will go to the operator or manager's house and raid the house at the same time. We've seen children taken at an operator's house, spouses arrested, things of that nature. So they've used a lot of different tactics to just instill a lot of fear and terror into medical cannabis patients. They definitely want us to stop doing what we're doing, but we're not going to.
Any news yet on...
To let them know that we're not afraid of them, that we're gonna fight this until we win. There will be safe medical cannabis in this country.
Any news on the dispensaries reopening?
I haven't heard anything yet about what they have done collectively. But I have heard that one, I guess, reopened immediately after their raid, which is, if you can, it's a pretty common tactic for dispensaries, mostly just to show, hey, you know, you didn't shut us down. You robbed us.
Yeah.
We're going to reopen and we're going to continue to serve our patients, because a raid isn't a cease and desist. It's just nothing more than an armed robbery.
Yeah, federal armed robbery. That's the perfect way to put it.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. If you've ever gotten to see one or you've ever been in one, that's exactly what it is.
It is. It is what it is. I agree.
Right, and Terry has produced one of the more convincing, compelling affidavits that we've submitted to Congress on this issue. But yeah, in addition to the raids this week, I think one of the more exciting things that happened this week in Los Angeles is I introduced the legislation to the city council, and I got very, very good feedback from our elected officials here in LA so far about that. If you aren't aware, our city attorney, now we've got helicopters over us, our city attorney here produced a horrible ordinance. His ordinance actually shuts down the dispensaries, and he wants patients to go file for a license to cultivate. His interpretation of SB 420 is that it doesn't allow for bricks and mortar dispensary. It allows for only for patients to collectively cultivate. So a cultivation ordinance was not what our city council was looking for at all. And there was a working group established in the city to draft regulations, and I edited and added some updated legal language to that draft ordinance since the issuing of the state attorney general's opinion, and I submitted that draft ordinance to council this week. And I've gotten really good feedback. So at least on the local front, the most exciting thing that we have going on is the city is trying to move forward with drafting an actual ordinance to regulate the dispensaries, despite the fact that we are in complete opposition with our city attorney on this issue.
Mm. Well, it sounds like you're doing good work there in L.A. And, DJ, thank you so much for reporting for us live down there at the L.A. protests at the Federal Building. And
you're welcome. No, thank you for your patience, because I know it's a little hard for me to hear, and it's a little crazy, and I'm sure my sound bites are a little jumbled, because even as I'm standing here, I have people coming up, hugging me, kissing me, asking me what's going on. I'm trying to whisper to them that I'm doing an interview.
That's fine, and I'm going to let you get to those folks now, because I want you to enjoy the protests as well, so I'll just stay on the line here with Terry.
Thank you so much, and I will catch up with both of you again here very soon.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you, DJ.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you, Terry.
Wow. I mean, we voted for this. We voted for medical marijuana. We voted for the legalization. We voted for the Compassionate Use Act. There's no way that we should have to, like, suffer an attack of... I say it's violence. It's an intimidation, and it's a violence by our own federal government.
Well, it's a mild form of terrorism is what it is. It's
right.
To terrify people, literally.
I felt like this was journalism today.
Yeah, it was a little journalism today. That's reporting.
it was really, I mean, I've never experienced a live happening.
Isn't it fun?
That was exciting.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. To today's Toker tune from the Marijuana Music Awards is Red by urban reggae heavyweights Laid Black from Bristol, UK. Created through the partnership of producer DJ Bungie and MC Joe Pang, these two veterans of the jungle scene earned their stripes rocking the biggest sessions through the 90s rave scene. As they've grown, their musical direction took a course that led them to seek out some of Bristol's finest musicians. What started as a studio project became the acclaimed live act, Laid Black. Their music is good vibes street music, described as street soul, where Jamaica meets the UK. The band's central influences come from reggae, R&B, hip-hop, and soul. As a group of musicians and vocalists, the band have been brought up on Marley, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and gospel music, and they, quote, mash it all up and see what comes out, end quote. The band say they take their inspiration, quote, from city street life, from people and history, from heavyweight musicians through the years, from the black and the white, from harmony and from the fight, end quote. Laid Black won Marijuana Music Awards Best Spiritual Song in 2007. After this win, the band were inspired to write My Eyes Are Red, now simply known as Red. Having recently been signed to Brown Punk record label, they are promoting the single Red. Laid Black are feeling very positive right now, and it looks like big things are set to happen. Red is Laid Black's first single and is out now on iTunes and Napster. Their second single is on its way soon, and the album will be released later this year. You can keep up with the latest label and gig news at Laid Black's MySpace page, myspace.com/LaidBlack. That's LAIDBLAK. This is Laid Black with Red.
Hey boss, some of the time they say I sell the good things, boss. And you see how like this long time me no get this spot something that tastes good. I beg the eye sell me a draw. A 16th. Looks good, smells good. Beg the eye some Rizla and a little piece of cigarette. Make us see how this thing start. Respect. Reason why. Reason why. Reason why. Big the eye lighter. Are the real things. My eyes are red.
I've been burning. I've been burning.
Here's the reason why. My eyes are red.
I've been bala da 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 da.
If I don't have it in my pocket, I go to panic. Cause like I said, where I come from, we smoking is a habit. Yeah, we could have born and I raised down in the hood. But if I things I have inherited, I could get a man shot. One of them things is smoking weed because it makes me feel good. But me night this sense to me, yes, it makes me feel. But me is a man of that, but sense to me, is a drug. And if I start to smoke it, I'm gonna turn into a thug. Where I come from, that they talk, it could only get you mug. Where I come from, burning weed, it is a blessing from above. Where I come from, yes, we burn it when we are this rubber dub. Where I come from, yes, we burn it after we just throw metal up. Where I come from, yes, we burn it when the sun starts shine. I blaze high grade weed all the time.
My eyes are red.
I've been burning, I've been burning.
Here's the reason why. My eyes are red.
I've been la 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 la.
Straight now see what I got in store. Conscious lyrics, you know I got them galore. So fling on a little jack
travel out a door. Sleep on bed, me not go sleep on floor. Name in reverse, that means you don't want some more. But you am international, I'm always on tour. Show for dribble, they might see till they want the front door. Later on, I'm entertaining to 1,000 or more. Only pays a little money, so you know I'm still poor. My place, high grade weed, that's for sure.
My eyes are red,
I've been burning.
King Solomon's grave. But about that I don't know. But one thing that I do know,
swindle the sense of mean, I got to grow home. Swindle the sense of mean, I got to grow home. I want to burn it right now. Me love what they come back, me burn it right now. Anyway, hey, anyhow, anyway, hey, anyhow.
My eyes are red,
I've been burning, I've been burning.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
CNBC's report, Marijuana Inc., was widely discussed around the country, and it offered this unavoidable message. As the domestic and international financial markets continue their dismal decline, one homegrown economy is thriving, marijuana. Marijuana production and consumption are ubiquitous, yet the market is very difficult to define. Independent researcher John Getman's 2006 report illustrated that marijuana is the nation's number one cash crop. Tabulating the number of marijuana plants seized or eradicated by the Drug Enforcement Administration in 2005, Getman estimated the market then to be $35.8 billion. The DEA's domestic cannabis eradication program for 2007 seized more than 7 million marijuana plants. The government estimates that a single plant will yield about 0.75 pounds of usable marijuana. So adding that up, the program took 5.5 million pounds of marijuana off the market. The National Drug Intelligence Center issued its 2009 assessment for marijuana and reported that, quote, 25,085,000 individuals age 12 and older used marijuana in 2007, close quote. If every single one of those 25 million Americans consumed 0.25 ounce of cannabis every week, then the required supply would be about 18 million pounds per year. Did the DEA's eradication program wipe out more than one-third of the domestic marijuana market in 2007? Of course not. According to the government's own